Let's turn to Psalm 72 here this morning. Psalm 72. Psalm 72, let's look at verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we're grateful to be able to come to You here this morning and exalt and magnify the Lord God of heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, that's what we're here to do this morning. We've heard a lot these last few weeks with Brother Gip preaching a full week nearly. And, Lord, we've preached and preached. Sometimes it's good to step aside and just glorify and magnify God for a while. I pray that all here would be blessed by that. May You honor those that are away, trying to get some rest on vacation or else sick or whatever, for whatever reason they're not here. Father, we ask that You'll bless this morning here as we hope somebody that's maybe not saved might get saved today. I pray You deal with their hearts about what a God it is that we actually serve. So I pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, down in verse 20, you note where the Bible says the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Whether that means this is the last words of David in the Bible, I don't know about that. It could be that some of the Psalms are not in chronological order. Whatever else is the case, one of the last things that David ever said was a quite profound thing. Let me read verse 18 for you again. That's our text this morning. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Now, you can take that two ways, that anything that God does is wondrous. I don't question that. I think it's fair to say from what the rest will unfold here this morning that it's also saying that God, that only God does wondrous things. Only God does wondrous things. I can hear the cries of outrage now from those who think that man is wonderful and that Islam is wonderful and that Allah is wonderful. I understand. I'm here to declare today that it is only God that does wondrous things. Whatever it is that man does might be nice, might be good, we may advance, those things are fine, but only God does wondrous things. I'll ask you a few questions here. If you think that Allah has done wondrous things, tell me what they are. Tell me what it is that Allah / Muhammad has done that would be categorized as wondrous. I'm really having trouble coming up with something. I know that Hinduism has 325 million gods. Tell me which of those gods has done something demonstrably wondrous. I can't think of one. And I'm not going to go through all 325 million of them to see if I can find one. But I can't find a single thing that any of the Hindu gods have done that are wondrous things. Buddha, Krishna, I don't know. Now, the god of this world is the devil, small g god. He has done something pretty outrageous. He has succeeded in blinding the minds of them that believe. Not that much is true, so he's very powerful, but you couldn't say that's a wondrous thing. Some would say that man has done wondrous things. I simply declare that if there's anything that man has done that's fine, compared to what God does and has done, it is not wondrous. Listen, folks, it took man over 5,900 years of history to put a motor on the back of a boat to send it across the water. It took man almost 6,000 years of history to find a penicillin and do something with it. How is that wondrous? Today we do all kinds of things. We can. The Egyptians proved they could make mummies really good. Okay, is that wondrous, really? Yes, we communicate in great ways now, and yes, we can kill entire populations in various manners. But ladies and gentlemen, do any of those things qualify as wonders? I'm telling you, God only does wondrous things. Only He does wondrous things. Now, if only He does it, that means something. That means that He has a monopoly. Okay? The title of this message this morning is The Monopoly. No, not the monopoly game. The monopoly. What a monopoly is, folks, is that it's exclusive control by a person or a party in the production or selling of commodities or whatever. In other words, if I had invented plastic and I had been astute enough in business or whatever to patent it and to limit it to myself and being the producer of it, I would be a very rich man. I would have a grand monopoly if I could control all the production and sale of plastics. That's a monopoly. Now, that's not the same as cornering the market. Bill Gates probably would be said to have cornered the market in software and all that kind of thing. He doesn't have a monopoly. In most cases in America, it is illegal to have a monopoly on something. But the bottom line is, what I'm getting at here is, if you could ever cure the common cold, if you could ever invent a pill that cured cancer, you would have a fairly good opportunity to somehow corner the market and be a very, very rich man or woman. But only God has a monopoly on some stuff. And I'm here talking to you about that today. This message is preached to confront an evil of our day. There is something very wicked going on. That wickedness is something called pluralism. It's something called diversity. And diversity is celebrated in our country and in the media, but it is a wickedness. It is an evil thing. I call it undiscerning open-mindedness. Because the idea here is that for most folks, that most folks won't even say anything decent about God in the world, in the media. If God is mentioned, it's not in a good light. But if I did mention something good about God, I also had to say some good things about Buddha and Muhammad. That's diversity. That's pluralism. And I just want you to know, I'm saying here this morning to be clear that this all-inclusive culturalism and doctrinal stuff, this ecumenicism, there's something wicked about it, because God has a monopoly on some things, and only He does those things. And when you give credit to another god or another prophet of another god, you are not exalting God. In fact, you are blaspheming God, because God only does some stuff. There's some stuff that God only does. So the preaching this morning is about the monopoly. This is for Islamists and lesbian Methodists and people that watch public TV and think that the National Geographic Channel has all the answers. Okay? This is about a media and a culture that spends its time trying to magnify Allah or other groups and other religions as much as it does Christianity. I'm here to say this morning that God has a monopoly on some things. And the first thing is very plainly seen in verse 18. It's something I've already mentioned. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Now, I'm here to exalt God today, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, what that means, it's going to check out your timidity measure today, because in order for me to properly raise God and exalt God and magnify God in this matter, that means that all the rest of the idols have to come off the mantle. Okay? When I start magnifying God to the extent that the Bible magnifies Him and says He only does wondrous things, that means all the other gods have to fall off the mantle and none of the rest of them do wondrous things. If God only does it, then the rest of the gods are fakes and frauds. So, again, this is a measure of modern Christian and modern Americans' timidity about actually magnifying God to His proper place, because God only does some things. He is has a complete monopoly on some things. The first thing is, He only doeth wondrous things. No other God does wondrous things. No other God did wondrous things. No other God's prophet has anything wondrous to say. No other Lord has anything wondrous to say. No other Lord rules wondrously. Only God Himself does that. The Bible says that the Lord spoke this world and these worlds into existence. The Bible says He upholds all things by the word of His power. He made the stars also. The heavens are the work of His fingers. He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. He is before all things. By Him all things consist. God only does wondrous things. Whatever it is else that Satan does, the god of this world, or demons, or devils, or spirits, or familiar spirits, or unclean spirits, or witches, or wizards, or magicians, or idols, whatever it is that they do not qualify as wondrous. Whatever else it is that man does that qualifies as being admirable, it's admirable that man invented penicillin. It's admirable that now we're up to the generation 5 or 6 iPhone. Okay, fine. We can really communicate well now. I can text by not texting at all. I can text by speaking. That's kind of cool, by the way. And it's maybe admirable. It's a development. That's cool in a way, but it's not wondrous. The fact that man can travel in outer space and get himself back to terra firma safely is remarkable. But it's not wondrous. You know why? Because God only doeth wondrous things. You know, it's worthwhile to mention that, you know, a guy gets on a skateboard, his pants are halfway to his knees, and he jumps the skateboard up on a rail and goes down two series of rails without killing himself, and somebody standing in the background goes, "Awesome, man." No, man, that's not awesome. It's remarkable, but it's not awesome. Because only God gets awe in the Word of God. There are two things said to get awe in the Word of God. One of them is God Himself, that's Psalm 33. And one of them is the Word of God, which is Psalm 119. Only those two things qualify as awesome. So some half-naked twit that one day is going to break his head successfully riding down a rail on a skateboard is not awesome. A guy on a bicycle that goes to the tunnel and does the flippy-dippy thing and lands without killing himself is remarkable. But it's not awesome. Nor is it wondrous. The Bible says God only does wondrous things. God has a monopoly on wondrous things. Nobody else, no man, no woman, no child, no musical progeny does anything wondrous, does anything awesome. God has the corner of the market. God has the monopoly on wonder. I want you to notice something else, if you would. Go in your Bibles to Jude 1. Actually, Jude 4. Jude, book of Jude, next to last book of the Bible. Jude 4. We're in context of things falling apart. Jude says something pretty wondrous himself. Verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The only Lord God. God is the only Lord God. God is the only capital G God. Okay, He has a monopoly on being God. He has a monopoly on being the Lord God. Psalm 86 says, "Thou art God alone. Nehemiah 9 says, Thou art the Lord alone. Yes, I know 1 Corinthians chapter 8. For there be gods many and lords many. I understand what that means. There are lots of folks that like to be called Lord. There are lots of folks and gods that lord over something, but they all have to fall down at the feet of the Lord God. God is the Lord God only. There is no other. I know that, as I said earlier, the devil, the god of this world, hath done a marvelous thing, hath done a remarkable thing in blinding the minds of them that believe not. But still the fact remains that he is not God alone. The fact still remains that there will come a day where he himself bows his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a monopoly on wondrous things. God has a monopoly on being the only Lord God. There is no other. I am happy to say Allah is not God. You might say Allah is a God. I would simply say Allah is a devil. Allah is not God. Much less is He the same God as our God. That is dementia in action. Allah is not God. The rats and the cattle and the snake and the cockroaches of Hinduism, those things are not God. The pagan gods of the rivers and the volcanoes, they are not God. There is only one Lord God, and that is the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Father. He is my Savior. And He has a monopoly on being God. There is no one else ever that has been. And by the way, I should say here in America that the gods of imagination and fabrication are not God either. I should say beyond that, that the God, that the Lord Jesus Christ of modern Christianity's fabricated imagination is not God either. The one of the Bible is God. Y'all are a little quiet on that there this morning, so let me make sure that I'm clear. People have taken the name of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, and they have built an idol out of attributes that they like about Him, but they have jettisoned the ones they don't like about Him. That's not God. That's another God. That's an idol. I just want to say that there is only one Lord God. It is the Lord God of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the God of the Bible. And there is no other. Science and learning is not God. By the way, the Pope's not God. By the way, you're not God. Nor were the Pharaohs God, nor were the Japanese emperors God. You know, it's kind of funny because I saw a picture the other day of some National Geographic somebody or something where you have this lady and she's studying the mummies, you know, and so she's sitting cradling the head of this mummy. I don't know which mummy it was, but cradling the head of this mummy, studying it, and, you know, I don't know, very ardently, zealously, and with great reverence, cradling the head of this mummy. And that's how we are supposed to approach the false gods of this world. The folks, the gods that men of all ages have said were gods, but now are dead. You understand? Ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to approach these things with reverence. We're supposed to, when somebody says something good about our God, we're supposed to say something good about Allah, because after all, they're working together to get us all to heaven. And all that kind of stuff. It's not true. Archaeology studies losers. It studies usurpers and upstarts and deceivers. You go study the mummies that claim they were God. They had to have their beer and their grain and their sandwiches and their chocolate cake brought into their tombs with them, so the next place they went, they wouldn't be hungry when they got there. The cake all went uneaten, okay? You know why? Because the guy was a guy. He was not a god. None of those Japanese emperors were God. They never were. They never could be, and they knew it. They were deceivers. Where you go in with reverence and the pretense of reverentially studying the teachings of Allah is an exercise of dementia. It's an exercise of delusion. He's not a God at all. His chief prophet was a pedophile. And I won't take it back like Jerry Falwell did. Okay? It's wrong. These things are deceivers. God only is God. I would say this further. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He only does wondrous things. He only is God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go down to verse 15. Maybe we should start in verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the only potentate. That must mean that Jesus Christ is God. Because if God is the King of heaven and earth, if God is God, but Jesus Christ is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, then He must be God. But it says there that He is the only, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Did you know in the Bible that both Artaxerxes and Nebuchadnezzar were actually called kings of kings? Okay, so other than Jesus Christ have been termed King of kings and perhaps even Lord of lords. But there is only one blessed and only potentate. Potentate is one of those words we don't use much. The basis of it is something called potent. That would be powerful, okay? God is the blessed and only potentate. Nobody overthrows His ordinances. Nobody overthrows what He says is so. Nobody can undo what He has done. Nobody. Because He is the blessed and only potentate. He not only rules in the affairs of the church, He not only rules in, some people would say, in the affairs of religion, He rules in the daily affairs of men. Now, I believe in sovereignty. I am not a Calvinist. I believe that somehow God interweaves Himself in so that the will of man, for better or worse, works to the end to God's will and things. God, in the end, dictates the affairs of mortal men, what they do and what they say. He dictates in the around the affairs of politics and the affairs of government. He controls times and seasons and winds and rain and tides. He controls disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes. God is God of those things. You know why? Because He's the potentate. He can make something like wind tear our society apart. He can make something like water that you drink down every day. He can make water carry away entire buildings, entire corners of our civilization when He decides to judge us. He can make fire fall from heaven. He is the potentate. He controls what does happen, what does not happen. No one has ever been able to interfere with the course of the stars. And no one ever shall. Until God determines the course of the stars shall change, they're not changing. Because God set them in order. They are His handiwork. They dance according to His music. They move according to His measure. And nobody, including the devil, can mess with them. Because He is the potentate. He only He does wondrous things. Only He is the potentate. Only He is God and nobody else is. Notice one more thing in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Notice who only hath immortality. God only has immortality. God has a monopoly on something. He has a monopoly on several things. But maybe somewhere up near the top, to us, the most important of which is immortality. Nobody gets to be immortal without going through my God. My God controls the issues of immortality. He dispenses immortality where He chooses to, and nobody can get it except going through Him. There is one God and one mediator. Right? He only hath immortality. God is the sole solitary holder of immortality. And that's what drives people crazy. We start lifting God up at this level where every other god has to fall down low. And in order to lift God up to a certain level, it's necessary to pull down idols. It's necessary, frankly, to say bad things about Buddha and 325 million Hindu gods and a guy named the Pope that essentially calls himself Jesus Christ. It's necessary to say bad things about them to properly elevate the God of heaven. I just want you to know that He only hath immortality. The Pope doesn't have it. The Pope doesn't dispense it. He has nothing to do with it. Muhammad never knew an immortal day in his life. As far as I can see, he spoke so little truth as to be covered up in history. It's too bad that he's one of the main players in history at this point. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, God only hath immortality. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 20, that unto the Lord God belong the issues not of death, the issues from death. Only God controls the issues from death. Now, the devil was given power to kill. The power of death lies with him. Is that right? A lot of folks can kill. But to only one sole individual on the face of this earth belong the issues from death. If you're going to escape death, if you're going to escape out of death, you've got to go through my Lord God, the only one that does that. He has a monopoly on immortality. You cannot be immortal without my God. He controls the price. He controls the accessibility of it. And for some folks, that is just too much to take. I suppose that probably as much as saying something about specific sins on the street, I suppose I get more dirty looks and more a spittle thrown my way for saying that, for instance, standing and preaching on the street, there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And only one, there are no others, except a man be born again. He cannot. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I suppose I get more nasty looks about that than even saying something about homosexuality. And the reason why is folks cannot stand the idea that the God of the Bible has the sole accessibility to immortality. But I'm telling you right now, God has a monopoly. He controls who gets immortality. He controls the price. So you say, well, I just think that's tyrannical. I just think that's wrong. Really? Do you know what the price is? Do you know what the accessibility is? Now, if I had monopolized something, I'm a wicked enough sinner to make you pay for it. And if I had something, if you could somehow bottle immortality, do you know how rich you could be? The conquistadors and the Spanish explorers and Portuguese explorers, they came to this country looking for the fountain of life, the fountain of youth. If you could have found that fountain and bottled that water or whatever else comes from that fountain and given it out and it worked, you could be the richest man in the universe. But I don't control it. God controls it. And He only has the monopoly on it. He only controls the price of it. He only controls the accessibility of it. You say, well, that's just not right. That's just too much power for one individual to have. Do you know what the accessibility is? Do you know what the price is? See, He gives it to you for free. Right? He says any man can come get it for free. If all you've ever owned in your life is a loincloth, you can still come and get it. You have clear access to it for free through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a God with complete accessibility who allows any and all to come and get it for nothing but faith. And folks still complain about Him having accessibility to it. I'm telling you, He only hath immortality. Nobody else does. They have to come through our God, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care how many paths you try to travel with Allah, you ain't getting there. I don't care how many paths you try to follow with the 325 million Hindu gods, with Shiva or Krishna or anybody else, you're not getting there because they have not the accessibility for immortality. God alone does. I want you to see something else, if you would. Look in 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. God only, only Him. He only does wondrous things. He only is God, the Lord God, God only. He only is potentate. He only hath immortality. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, capital K, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Oh, if you've been sucked in by this world, you're going to get mad at me now. Because the only God with any wisdom is God. The Bible says, for instance, in Jude chapter 1, that the only wise God and our Savior. Colossians chapter 2 says, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Nobody else has the kind of wisdom that He has. The devil is wise and crafty. And what he uses that wisdom for is to kill. The only wise God there is that has true wisdom and the wisdom of God is God Himself. If you're going to go to the Bhagavad Gita, you're not going to get wisdom. You're going to get foolishness. It's a flirtation with disaster. It's a flirtation with delusion. If you have been sucked in by New Ageism, it's a flirtation with disaster. It's a flirtation with delusion. You're asking to be deceived. Our God is the only wise God. And that means I have to say something nasty. Every other one is foolish. Every other one is stupid. Okay? I feel about it this way. Some of you don't even probably remember watching, and maybe you never did, because maybe you never did. Remember the Wizard of Oz, the old Wizard of Oz, and in the end, this humongous voice and all this smoke was really this little weenie of a guy about this tall, and he was all crouched over, and just this little weakling of a guy who managed to convince the world that he was the Great Oz by all this smoke and mirrors. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know, you know what's behind Allah and the entire movement of Islam? You know what's behind 325 million Hindu gods? You want to know what's behind all the demonism and the wickedness involved in all of the witchcraft in the world? It's these little, decrepit demons and spirits. And they hardly hold a shadow. They don't hold a shadow to the Lord God. He is the only wise God. And they have written books and they have inspired their witches and stuff to say all manner of things. Who is Buddha? Who wants to be like Buddha? Who wants to follow a little pot-bellied fat guy around? Who wants to be one with a doorway anyway? I want to be one with a candle. Why? Why would I want to be one with a doorknob? What wisdom is in that? You know, I have read the Quran. I was bored out of my mind. You know why? Because it says truly stupid things. Anybody that's ever read the New Testament side by side with the Quran cannot possibly compare the two. It's ridiculous what is said. It's ridiculous what Muhammad said. It's ridiculous what Allah said. It's just ridiculous. It's not wise. There is no book written like this book, because it was written by the only wise God. Every other God you can mention, every other God that you can name, wrote nothing but ridiculousness. the Bhagavad Gita, Hindu mysticism, stuff by Yogi, not Yogi Bear, but Yogi. They're moronic. They're foolish. It doesn't read like the Bible at all. It doesn't read like the Bible at all. Listen, folks, by wisdom, God hath made the heavens. That's how wise God is. By wisdom and by understanding, He hath hung the heavens. He's the only wise God. He has a monopoly on wisdom. That's why the wisdom of this world is damned. That's why the wisdom of men is damned. Because He has a monopoly on any real wisdom that matters. But that's not all. Look in John 17. Trying to go through them quickly, but John 17. He only doeth wonderful things, wondrous things. He only is the Lord God. He only is potentate. He only hath immortality. He is the only wise God. John 17, verse 3, Jesus Christ's words. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Not just the only God, but the only true God. Now, over and over in the Bible, Jeremiah 10, 2 Chronicles 15, 1 Thessalonians 1, over and over again, He is the true God. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the true God. He is the only true God. Any other God might be a God, small g God, but He's not a true God. You know, really it boils down to something this simple. If you boil things down to their least common denominator, you have God and you have the devil. You have the God of wisdom, and then you have the devil, who's also wise, but it's a very different form of wisdom. You have the knowledge of God, you have the knowledge of the devil. You also have what the devil says is true, and then you have what God says is true. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 44, that the devil was a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. Now, let me ask you this. Who controls all the rest of the gods? The devil. The puppet master for all the 325 million Hindu gods and Buddha and Krishna and Shiva and Allah, the puppet master for all those is the devil. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you do not get truth from any of them. If you do get truth, it's the kind of tainted truth that Eve got. And that's why we're all in the mess we're in. I'm telling you right now, Christianity is in full retreat. They are sucking down the bait like crazy, going for the wisdom of this world, which is the wisdom of the devil, through the wisdom of other gods. It's unprecedented, perhaps ever in history, that so many folks, so many of God's people, have swallowed so many lies because they're no longer listening to the only true God, the only God that deals in nothing but truth. Let me tell you something about your God, folks. Your God deals only with truth. He doesn't deal with lies. He has never lied to you. God is not a man that He should lie. God does not lie. He deals only in truth. You may hear something true from the devil. You may read something in a book that's partially true and it came from the devil or a demon or a spirit or whatever. That truth is going to do you damage because there's a reason He told you a partial truth. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the God that you and I serve is the only true God. God has a monopoly on the truth. Whatever the devil says that might be at least partially true, I guarantee you, with the other side of the coin, he's lying to you. Okay? Your God never dealt with you with a lie in His lifetime. You have no business going to this world for the truth. That's how I know evolutionary science is wrong. If they say something is right and it's right, it's because they're trying to deceive me about something else. I do not go to psychiatrists for advice. I do not. Because they're dealing with tainted truth, if there is any truth in it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no business going to somebody that's not a source from, that's not there. The source is not God. I want you to know He is the only true God. I'll say something else. There's just a couple more things. Revelation 15. Revelation 15. God has a monopoly on some things. He not only has cornered the market, which is a remarkable feat, He not only has most all of the truth and most all of the facts about eternal life and immortality and these things, I want you to know He has all of it because He has not cornered the market. He has monopolized the market. He is the source of these things. You must go to Him to get them. If you go to another source to get them, you may get something that helps a little bit and heals a little bit, but it's not the real thing and it didn't come from God. He only is holy. Look in Revelation 15, verse 4. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. Think about that one. With God only. God only is holy. So there's only one source that you can trust about sin. That's God. Have you never noticed that if you are a Islamist, a Muslim, or a Buddhist, or a Krishnaite, or whatever, have you not noticed, if you know anything about those things at all, that, you know, we always say that really even that the God of Roman Catholicism is really not even our God. And I believe that's true. You know why I believe it's true? I believe it's true because only our God deals with sin the way He deals with sin. Did you notice that all the rest of those groups that I mentioned are really, really loose on sin? Boy, I tell you what, there are some things that are forbidden in some cases along those lines. Boy, if you're a Muslim and you eat a bacon bit, boy, are you in big trouble. But I'll tell you what, given the right circumstances, you can rape and pillage and murder all you want to. It's ridiculous. Only God deals with our sins the way our God deals with our sins. Our God was willing to send His Son to this world to die for our sins, to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, because the sin had to be taken away. Because leaving a little bit will not do. And it is without fail that somebody that follows Krishna or somebody that follows the Hindu gods or somebody that follows Islam, their gods never tell them to deal with sin the way we're told to deal with sin. There are always sins with them that are acceptable. When you go through and you study, everybody in America is always thinking about the American Indian. Great conservative, you know, values as far as nature's concerned, and they lived with the buffalo and they knew how to eat mushrooms or whatever. And you know, they're held up for us Americans as examples and as if they held some secret truth, as if they were holier than a Christian. I read Lewis and Clark. And, you know, it's kind of funny because maybe there were positive attributes of somebody that was an Indian that served his great spirit or whatever. But I can tell you this, sexual purity was nowhere to be found. I read too much. I know too much. When Lewis and Clark arrived among Indians that had never seen white men, they were already eaten up with syphilis. You know why? Because they pass their women back and forth. See, what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? The Great Spirit is a falsehood. It's in no way the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. They try to make Him such, but He's not. He's just another false deity. He's just another demon. I believe that the God of the Roman Catholic Church is a demon, is a principality. Roman Catholic Church does not feel about sin the way you do. Or the way you should. God only is holy. If you ever study and read Baal and Tammuz and Semiramis and Isis and Horus and all those things and Allah, I hate to say it, but it all reads like a pornographic soap opera. Those gods are not hard on sin. Your God fixed it so your sins could be removed forever. Because He is the only He is holy. He is the only holy God. He is the only one with the requirement that every single solitary sin has to be paid for and eliminated and gone. And that's what He made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey people, if you're saved, that's good news. If you're not saved, it's good news because He hath immortality and He'll give it to you for free if you'll come to Him. Right? I have one last thing to say. 1 Kings 8, you find one last thing about the Lord God. 1 Kings chapter 8. He has a monopoly on these things. No other God touches Him. No other book bears witness to a God that is this holy and that is this right and has such a monopoly on power and wondrousness and righteousness as this God, as our God. 1 Kings chapter 8, go down to verse 39. 1 Kings 8 and verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and do. Give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, God, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. You know, I think the devil is pretty knowledgeable about the hearts of the children of men, but even the Bible says that God and God only knows everything about the hearts of the children of men. And it's worthwhile for you to stop and consider. God knows everything about your heart. Now, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Indicating that nobody can know it. But now we know that one can know it. One can know it better than you know your own. And that is the Lord God. God has a monopoly on the knowledge of the hearts of men. He knows what you're thinking. He knows all those things. He not only has cornered the market, He has a monopoly on wondrous things, that He is God only, the potentate, immortality, wisdom, truth, holiness, and on your heart. Here my God shines above all others. It's easy for somebody to lie and say that their God has attributes and characteristics that are as wonderful as mine. But there's no evidence for it. There's no truth in it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you pick the Lord Jesus Christ, you were placed into a relationship with God, and you became an instant winner, whether you truly understood it or not. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you were placed in a relationship with a God, with the God, that has a monopoly on all things that you need and have to have. And for that reason, when we lift God up like this, it is necessary that we throw other gods down. We make sure that we pull down all the rest of the principalities and powers and idols and make sure that no one in our presence can compare those broken false gods with the God that we set up and worship. God has a monopoly. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to You this morning and we mentioned that with all access to these things that we need, that many feel that You are too harsh a taskmaster, and that it is just an atrocity that there is only one singular doorway into heaven. There is only one singular way into the truth and to get righteousness, Father. We know Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also know that our God is not a tyrant. While it is true that You have a monopoly, Father, it is also very true that You have made that commodity accessible to every single man that hears and believes. For no price whatsoever other than that price which you paid yourself. Father, I just want to worship and thank you for being what you are. I'm glad that you showed us these things in the Word of God. Glad that we don't serve some entity that has to be carried around on our shoulders and dusted off on the mantle. Father, it has to be spoken for and must be sacrificed to constantly with rats and cats and dogs and various other things. So get glad to have a God that knows our capabilities and knows our failures and has made provision for us to get there freely. I pray, Father, you'd help folks to realize it. May we never be ashamed of the God that we serve or the Savior that we hold. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Turn in our hymn books to number 125. 125. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm not even sure if we have any visitors here this morning. Would love very much for you to come forward. Let us show you out of the Bible how you can know how to be saved. If you owe the Lord as a Christian an apology this morning for maybe not having lifted Him up as high as you should have, or perhaps having left another entity, another idol, another God up somewhere near Him that needs to be pulled over because of what you've heard this morning, I hope that you'll come. Number 125. Father, we thank you for a good morning this morning. We're glad that, Lord, we are safe and secure with a God that has a monopoly on all these things. Lord, we are glad that we did not choose a loser when we chose the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that you'll bless as we go today, get us some rest. We look forward to being back tonight. Look forward to the testimonies, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all are dismissed. See you back at 5:30 tonight for prayer meeting. If you can come, see you then.